Welcome to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode one of the Not Terrible podcast. We're back with a new season, new topics, and new stories. Today's episode is about money, what we learned as children, how we spend money today, and what we hope to teach our children about finances. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist. In college, how many credit cards did you get to get the free t-shirt?
I think I ended up getting one, and I still have it today. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yep, a Capital One MasterCard. I don't know if I should have said that.
Well, now I've stolen all your data.
Yeah, I did that. My problem wasn't that card. That card wasn't a big deal. It was the... It was the American Eagle card I applied for at Muncie Mall and the Victoria's Secret card I applied for
like
at Muncie
Mall. Yeah, the store cards.
Yeah, with the $500 limit. And I was like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in like a month, they were just maxed out. Yeah, those are the two I did.
And Old Navy, like the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
I would go shopping at a specific store because I knew I had that credit card and there was some money, like I could... buy something. I didn't have any money, but I could go to Old Navy because I had money on that card.
Right. I didn't have a debit card. This is fun. I didn't have a debit card until I left for college. And we got one because my dad and I had a joint account so that he could put money in there when I was at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked, but that money was my money and it was like to make my car go or to do anything extra.
Like fun money.
Yes. I didn't save any money. I mean, I saved money, but it wasn't like, hey, you need to save for the future. It's like, no, you need to save for the next
weekend party.
Yes, that was about it.
So when you growing up, like what did your parents tell you about money? Like what did they teach you about money?
That you didn't talk about it.
At all?
Nope. You don't talk about money. You don't talk about money. Not.
Still to this day?
No, I don't.
Your parent, like, still not? We don't talk about money?
My dad, no, you just don't. You just don't really? Talk about it. You don't talk about it. And, which I get, like, it's, I think he kind of was old school and, like, it's in poor taste to, like, talk about how much money you make or how much this costs or all those things. And I agree with that. But in terms of teaching your children, we just didn't talk about money. And I think that he comes from very humble beginnings and he was proud that he provided a really, really wonderful life for us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, like I've said this before, we wanted for nothing. I didn't have a brand new car, but I think my dad spent like $5,000 on a car for me in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice car.
For a kid that's probably going to wreck it.
Yes. I didn't though.
Hmm.
I actually didn't. And I drove that car until I got my first mom car.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, served its purpose.
I would say that's the opposite for me.
My
dad is an accountant, so money is his life. And I grew up very aware of money and we got an allowance.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, if we made money, you saved 20% of it. You gave 10% to church and then you got that 70%. So from like birthdays when I was 8 years old, they were teaching me that you saved 20% of your money all the time.
Even birthday money.
Any money.
All money.
I mean, I didn't have a job, so I wasn't making.
that was your income.
Yeah, my paycheck was when I turned older.
Yeah.
So, 10% went to church and 20% went to the can above the fridge, and that went into your college account. So
wow,
I had, I think by the time I had a job at 16, that was no longer, they didn't force that. They yeah. then was like, they were then like, you, we taught you this mm-hmm. for over 10 years, so you should be able to do that on your own. And I didn't once I had a paycheck and, you know, I was working at Steak and Shake or whatever I did in high school. Like, I didn't save the money then.
Yeah.
But my parents instilled that when I was little, like, this is what we do with our money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we think is best.
I would agree with that. I've never done a percentage of savings. Mm-hmm. I've always put X amount into savings.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sit down and I still have, it's like a, I don't, I mean,
a ledger,
Yeah. And it says bills and it has years and years of bills and I do them 6 months at a time and I write down what we like. I know they have apps and I know that there's, and I have, you know, automatic withdrawal for a lot of bills and all those things, but I still like to sit down once a month and mm-hmm. do it that way.
Yeah.
That's good for me. It keeps it and to actually see exactly, like, on paper, something tangible, this is what's happening.
Yeah. A little more accountable when mm-hmm. you see it. I think that's why a lot of people say use cash, is because
yeah,
you are less likely to spend money if you're holding that actual money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do that. We have a budget and I follow it every week. When somebody gets paid, I sit down and pay whatever I'm supposed to pay that week. And
oh, yeah.
sometimes we have more fun money than others and sometimes we don't have much. And yeah, but I do that manually. I do not want an app. I don't want a spreadsheet. Like, I have a binder mm-hmm. that I probably used in high school for something. And I sit down and like, I need to see where the money goes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then I have every bill that we've paid, and it feels good that there's, you know, there's loans or there's a brand new lawnmower or mm-hmm. there's something, I mean, just silly things, new windows. And you look at the month before or the page before and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look, we have half the amount going out that we did last month or last year or whatever. For me, for someone who wasn't, and I don't think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
It was just.
Not a thought.
No, it wasn't a thought. I think that my Aunt Karen lived with me for a long time and lived with, not just me,
just
my
you.
Dad and my, yeah, mm-hmm. just me, my dad and my brother and I. And she, very frugal woman, like we're talking like 800 credit score, those types of, like whatever the highest credit score is,
yeah.
she has it. Like, people were, please take out loans with us, those types of things. And I think that any organization in those terms, and I think she has every single tax return ever. And she just retired in 2012.
Just I got it. Rid of my filing cabinet this last weekend, and I've had files for bills mm-hmm. since I turned... Yeah, I got a cell phone on my 18th birthday, and I created a little folder for the bills, and I've been doing that ever since.
Wow.
Well, I didn't have that. No, I didn't have the bill from when I was 18.
Oh, okay.
But that was the first that was the first time I ever had a bill.
My
parents got me a phone for mm-hmm. my 18th birthday. They paid a couple months, and they were like, this is you wanted. Mm-hmm. You have to be responsible. So that was the first time I got a bill, and I've had the file folders ever since.
Oh my gosh.
I've just condensed now into like a box and I can do, because everything is online, everything is tracked. I still write checks a lot for bills because I like to write the, mm-hmm. I just had to order some new checks last week because I ran out because I still write checks.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder, I should pay attention to the last time I got a box of checks and how long it takes me to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
School stuff. I write a lot of checks for school stuff.
So do I.
Yeah, because school's really good at waiting like 3 or 4 months to cash them.
You a check like 3 months ago, Jessica.
I know.
And you have not cashed it. And I'm very aware of that. At some point, I'm just going to take $30 out of the bank and hand you the money. Were you waiting for that conversation?
Well, partially because I just...
Found it?
Yes. I had stuck it in the console of my car. And I thought, honestly, this whole time, I thought it was a check that I had voided and stuck in there. And then I was like, I don't have checks that look like it was bent just enough to, I don't, my checks don't look like this. And I was like, oh, yeah. Morristown t-shirts. I forgot about this.
Our school won state champs, and she found some shirts, and she got them for me, and I'd never have cash. So I wrote her a check. I will never write you a check again.
I'm really bad about that because I know another time when I was class mom, a bunch of moms wrote me $5 checks. Yeah.
And I don't actually go to the bank often.
No.
Like, I just don't. So I have to go out of my way to cash a check. My question was going to be how or what money habits did you learn growing up that you still...
That I still use today?
Yeah.
If you want it, you buy it.
Oh, man. Cool.
No, my dad was, don't spend a lot of money on cheap things. Like, he's one of those guys that has, like, a closet that's very organized and has very high quality. It doesn't mean it has to be expensive, but invest in quality items. Like, you don't have to have clutter. You don't have to just have nice things. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have a ton of things. And it's, and, you know, and just, it's okay to spend a little bit more money if it's something that you like, if it's something that you use every day. Like, Oprah and Dave Prosser both said, you can spend a lot of money on sheets and towels. Those are things you use every day.
For years.
Yes. They last forever. And so it's more in terms of that. Spending our money on experiences and not things also. It wasn't in terms of managing money. It was just maybe spending smart.
Okay.
Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. I would say that. No, but the minute that I could get a credit card, I got a credit card. And
I remember every Sunday morning, my dad, like, we would be getting ready for church or whatever, and he would sit down and pay the bill. Like, I remember him getting the little brown leather checkbook cover, like, sitting out and paying bills. And he just, like, that routine of every Sunday doing... like writing the check for church or whatever he was doing,
sure.
Seeing that, like, and I will tell you now as an adult, like, if I don't sit down, like, if it's been too long since I sit down with my checkbook, I start to get anxious because I'm like, I know I'm spending more money than I should. I need to address those receipts that are in my wallet and, like, get myself back in line.
Yeah.
So if I don't sit down, I, one, spend more than I should, and also I start to feel anxious about it because I feel out of control.
You balance a checkbook still with receipts and everything?
Yes.
Oh. I do not do that.
How do you know how much money you have? Just check your balance online?
Yeah, I check the app, Chase app.
What if someone holds a check for 3 months?
It happens.
Yeah, like, yeah. So you just, like, around, you know how much money you have around?
Oh, yeah. Like, I keep, if... I know how much, I bet you right now I could guess
within
$50 of how much money is in my account.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
No.
Yeah.
I
also don't keep, so one of the things in my 20s, I got into some money trouble just because I, like you said, like, I got a lot of credit cards and I worked full time while I was going to school. So I was in school full time and working full time. And so I had more income, but I also had more bills because I was living on my own. I had a car payment, all these things.
What was your college job?
I worked at a hospital in the billing department.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay.
So I had more money, but then I had more bills and I got a lot of that responsibility very quickly for my own. Like, I chose that. I wasn't pushed out into that responsibility. But I wanted to have nice things in my apartment and I wanted to have a new couch and I wanted new clothes cause I was going out a lot, like all these things that I didn't need, but I wanted. So I spent a lot of money. So when we got married, when I got married at 25 and by 27 or 28, I mean, I had gone back and got my master's. We were in debt almost $70,000.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Cars,
yeah.
Credit cards,
yeah.
Student loans,
yeah.
Health bills, like $70,000.
Wow.
And it was before, it was right after Elliot was born, and I was just like, man, we can't do this. We cannot keep living like paycheck to paycheck and then giving all our money away for things that we have done in the past and not mm-hmm. anything we're currently doing. So for us, we went on a really hard journey of becoming debt free. So we now, right now, it took like 5 or 6 years besides our mortgage, like we don't have any debt. So I know for me personally, if I don't sit down and balance a checkbook, I also don't keep extra money in my checking account because that means I can go and spend it on things I maybe don't need.
Sure.
So I purposely transfer it to a savings account or put it somewhere else so that I don't have lots of extra in my checking account, because that's what, when I end up at Target or,
mm-hmm.
you know, like ordering things on Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I take the savings right off the top mm-hmm. and before, like even before I pay bills or anything.
Yeah.
And, I always pay the bill plus half of it. Especially like if it's a loan or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a big loan,
right.
then I'll pay it twice a month and get it done.
'Cause you don't like to see it.
No. Yes. Yeah. Like it's like a video game. Like, watch this. Watch this go down. Watch this go down. Watch
paying
go down.
Off debt is addicting.
It is. It's bad. And then it's just like, oh, but okay, so you're paying this payment and it's $168. Well, you should really round up to $175. And what's $15 more? $200. Look what I just did.
I'm amazing. Also, 75 plus 15 is not 200. Oh,
sorry, 25. Yes.
So, but, no, yeah, okay. But that yeah. little bit of like, how much extra can I do mm-hmm. and still survive? And
yeah.
like, what can I get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
That is fun. So
it has to be one of the most rewarding things to do as a grown up.
Yeah. Is to pay off a debt.
Yeah.
And I would say now we've lived debt free for, I think, 3 years. Staying out of debt is just as hard as getting out of debt mm-hmm. because it is easy when I don't have like the bills. Like, you have that ledger. I have my binder with the bills that we had in 2009, and to see where we were and where we're at now, like, we have half the amount of money going out each month. And it is really easy to say, well, I could do mm-hmm. this and take on a small payment. That's not a big deal, but like,
yeah.
But it then, is, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that internal struggle of, mm-hmm. I thought once we would be debt free,
mm-hmm.
and I do say that not counting the mortgage, I thought it would have been easier. Money, I think, is always just going to be a struggle for me. Like, I'm always going to want to spend more mm-hmm. than I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always going to want more things than I need.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and do you remember when you, like, your first job and your first paycheck and then maybe your first raise and going, oh my gosh, if I could live off of this forever. I can't. No, you like automatically step into that place of, I make more money, then I am going to spend more money.
Yeah.
Like, if I made the money I made now when I was 25 years old, oh my gosh, I would have thought we were rich.
Yeah. Loaded.
Which, I mean, for that age, it probably would. But I mean, you know, but it's not. Now I have a mortgage and a family of four.
Yeah.
And
growing
and
boy.
Two vehicles. Yeah. And teenagers. Yeah. And like just these things. And it's like, oh my gosh, I would have so much money if I didn't have children.
I know. No, every time I go grocery shopping, I'm like, you know what? If we didn't have to eat, we would be loaded.
Yeah.
We would have so much money if no one had to eat food in this house.
Yes. When we go to Costco, I'm just like, this is a joke. This is a joke. Do you guys want to walk out into the parking lot and just throw this stuff in the trash now, or the wasting?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so that's one of the things we're doing now with our kids is, I remember my parents. So I was in sports a lot, and sports is it's expensive now. It wasn't as expensive in, you know, 1996.
I mean, people are spending more plus thousands of dollars on travel teams.
No, that's ridiculous.
Equipment.
That was not happening when I was playing.
I know.
My dad would not have allowed that.
No.
But we were spending more money. Like, it was playing AAU ball or a travel mm-hmm. softball team. Like, that was expensive stuff. So I remember times my parents saying, like, hey, we're doing this, but you need to know that this is making things tight. Like we are not going to say no to this, mm-hmm. but this is, mm-hmm. this is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So when we went back to school shopping a couple weeks ago with the girls, we get new shoes, even though they have shoes that probably fit well, like
they're fine.
It's back to school and you always get a new pair of shoes. And we were,
it's tradition. It's not necessity. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were at a place where they were having some really good deals, and what ended up spending.
Were you at Shoe Carnival?
And I was at Shoe Carnival. No, I was at Famous Footwear.
Okay.
And we were at the outlet mall when we were out of town, and I know about what I'm going to spend on two pairs of kid shoes. And what we ended up doing is, because they were such good deals, we got, each girl got three pairs of shoes.
Holy moly!
For what we would, and
see, that's crazy.
I know. And so I said, like, girls, you don't need three pairs of shoes. We got your tennis shoes and we got some casual shoes. And then Harper got some slip-ons that she's been wanting, the sparkly slip-ons. But like I had to say before we checked out, like, one, you know, this is not necessary. Mommy and right. daddy are being very generous that you're getting three pairs of shoes. And also some people are not getting one pair of shoes.
Right.
So I need you to like
take a moment.
Yeah. Like this is not necessary. This is a extra
mm-hmm.
because the shoes you have at home actually fit fine right now and they're not falling apart. And you're going to go to school with kids that didn't get new shoes. I need you to just take a minute to realize the privilege that you have right now of walking into the first day of school with some new shoes on and a new outfit that you feel really good in.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of kids don't have that opportunity. So,
right.
I am very aware of the privilege and the money and the things that we have that I don't deserve. Like the things that I have, the advantages that I have been given that had nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want my kids to be more aware of that because I believe I was a spoiled brat as a child and did take a lot of things for granted. And I think part of that is just being a kid. Like you don't,
and
you
not
can't
necessarily
see outside of yourself as a kid.
No. And I think spoiled in terms of experience, like not just financially, like you were a brat and you got whatever you wanted, like where we lived, the school we went to, all these
the
things.
The families that we were surrounded with.
Yes, like a community and that we're spoiled in all the ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I was not maybe aware of that enough because I don't know, my parents just didn't maybe say enough, like, here's how other people live.
Right.
Here's how the majority of people live.
Mm-hmm.
And think outside of your neighborhood or your bubble or your city, mm-hmm. and let's look at the world and maybe that could temper some of the things that you are wanting or doing or demanding. And here's what you deserve and here's what you're getting. And teaching them maybe that lesson of, man, I don't know. How do you make kids grateful when they're kids and they just don't, that's not how their brains work.
No, but I think that, I mean, it's like it's like anything. They're not going to know until they know. I said this before last season that I have a very unique experience in living with my father for half of my childhood and living with my mother for the other half. It was just two very different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
My dad always provided for us when we lived with our mom, and my mom gave us what we could, but our mom told us no a lot. Like, we can't afford that. That's not happening. And I don't know if my dad ever said that to us.
Yeah.
So it was, but I remember, you know, standing, you know, and having to put things back, you know, with our mom if we were at the store. And it's just, I just have some very, for me, I was embarrassed at the time, but it's humbling now.
Yeah.
I just having both of those experiences and trying to teach our kids now. We don't do it every month, but with Max, I'll just sit down and go, hey, I'm going to show you what came in and I'm going to show you what's going out. And this is how this works. And you're going to sit here and do this with me. And you're going to see how much those new football cleats cost.
Yeah.
And you're going to see how much it costs. That's what I told him the other day. I said, you're going to see how much I'm going to spend in the next 2 weeks to send you and your sister back to school.
Yeah.
You're going to be shocked.
We have it written in the budget because it's such a big
mm-hmm.
hit.
Mm-hmm.
Every July,
mm-hmm.
school fees and signing everything up, it mm-hmm. feels heavy.
I mean, you're going to have to answer this teacher question for me, but why have my book fees not gone down if we don't use books anymore? And I know that's a silly question probably, yeah. But well, I feel like it should have saved a little bit, right?
No, because you're not paying for the actual book. You're paying for the knowledge, and they're just putting all the knowledge online. So you're paying for the content, not the actual book.
Oh, okay.
So you're buying the license to get the book online.
Okay. Well, that was a good answer.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Today's show is sponsored by Sweet Olive. Sweet Olive is a locally owned women's fashion boutique with 4 locations around central Indiana. They work to make sure all women can shop with them, carrying sizes small to 3XL. If you're searching for new fall items, head to one of their stores, and their helpful stylists will be happy to assist you. You can also shop them online at shopsweetolive.com. Use code NOTTERRIBLE to get 15% off of your first shopping trip.
Mary and I just had the opportunity to go down and shop Sweet Olive for the first time, and I loved it. I'd never been before. It was my first trip, and Mary and I have very different styles, and both of us found items that we loved.
Yeah, I would say I was actually a little worried because I am very not fancy, mm-hmm. And sometimes I think a boutique can be a little
fancy.
More fluffier mm-hmm. than I would prefer.
A little fluffier.
And you found things that you loved, like multiple things.
Yeah.
I found multiple things I love. Mm-hmm. There are things we didn't get that we would have bought mm-hmm. if we just had more time, like that. Yeah, that we both fit into the styles that they had. I was actually kind of surprised. So they do a really good job of.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Mary and I are built a little different too. And yeah, that we both found things for mm-hmm. someone who's 6 feet tall and someone who is 5'1".
Yeah.
So that worked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that old Twins movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and...
Are you telling me I'm Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito.
I don't know if that serves either one of us. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Listen, if you've never seen us in person, we look very similar to that movie. I think we just work hard to have an English accent.
I think that he's Austrian.
No, I mean this accent that I have.
Oh.
I work hard to not sound.
Oh, okay.
This has gone off the rails.
I think we just found our Halloween costumes, though. That's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but actually, if you don't want to dress like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, you need to go to Sweet Olive.
Yeah. They have fancy or not fancy
mm-hmm.
every day. Or, like,
yes.
party stuff.
Yeah, and they carry the cutest shoes and purses, mm-hmm. accessories. And I saw on their Instagram the other day that they have a really fun section of wedding stuff. There's really sweet gifts for weddings and bachelors.
Bridal showers.
Yeah,
bridal showers. Parties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they have a lot of fun stuff.
Yep. So, definitely, if you're not local, you can get all of that online, too. So, mm-hmm. highly recommend it. And if you want to see what we got, you can go check out our Instagram. We're showing off some of our new stuff from them. So with Ellie, she's 9, and we are just now starting to kind of give her the freedom to have a little bit of money and decide what to do with that. And suddenly when we're shopping and I say, yeah, you can buy that, but you have to use your own money, changed the game. Mm-hmm. Suddenly she doesn't want it as bad. She wanted it really bad as long as I was going to buy it. But mm-hmm. suddenly when it was her money, she's like, oh, well, I have something like that at home. I'm like, yeah, you do, butthole. Like, but you were going to spend my money on it. But
right here,
I will give you a little bit more money, and maybe it'll make you a little more aware of what you have and what you don't need.
Right, right. I think that's wise. I know we talked about, but the allowance and the what do you do and what? Yeah, it is such a different ballgame when they have the money in their hand and they see it and that you watch like the terror in their eyes of like, this isn't mine anymore.
Yeah.
And they hand it over. Yeah.
It hurts. Just like when I go shopping and I accidentally spend $300 at the grocery store. That hurts when you pay that bill
mm-hmm.
and you realize you didn't need all those bags of chips. Well, you did, but, so what's a money lesson you learned or you wished you had learned sooner? Like that you wished your parents would have taught you that you had to learn by failure. And I feel like that's kind of a loaded question because the only way most of us learn is by doing it wrong or hurting ourselves. Is there a lesson that you wish you would have learned sooner?
I think I really wish that my parents would have, or that I would have educated myself better in investing money. But in terms of like, oh, well, you can invest this and you can do more with it and it'll serve you later in life. I'm 37. I can still do that.
Yeah, that still kind of sounds scary a little bit.
It does. For some reason, I just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to give my money and Bernie Madoff's going to take off and it's gone. It's gone forever.
As a teacher, so they, with a teacher contract, like they, you know, a part of the union, they give you so much money that the school will pay so much into your retirement. And then they give you so much, like you get to choose where this money goes. And like, I remember sitting down at like 24 at my first teaching job with like the financial guy that comes in from the service to ask you like where you want these funds to go and how much you're going to start investing. And I have never felt more dumb in my whole entire life. And I pretended, like, I was 24, so I, instead of asking, I was going to pretend to know at 24. Now I can be like, I'm going to need you to explain that. But at the time, I was just, like, completely confident in my lack of knowledge and pretended. But I still don't, that's a good answer. Just, like, wishing the knowledge of, like, what you can do with money besides save it.
And a family member, she had mentioned, like, I remember her saying, well, we're meeting with our money manager. And I was like, how much money do you have? You know, that you need a money manager. But now I realize that it was actually someone that was coming to them and educating them about these are your options. This is what you can do with your money. And I feel like, man, that would be a really wise investment just to pay somebody for their time to teach you something like that.
I have wise friends like that too, that have, like, they've set their goals. Like, this is what we want to be able to pay for college for our children, or this is when we want to be able to retire. This is what we want to be able to do with our retirement. How do we get from here right now, present day, to 30 years or 20 years in the future? You make the plan, tell us what to do, and we can follow that. So, like, obviously, that's not everyone's skill set, so that someone else can do that is, maybe I need to add to that to my list of things that I need to do as an adult that I'm not yet doing.
Adult bucket list.
Oh, man. It's like get new tires, change the furnace filter.
I still get nervous. Well, I haven't had to fill one out in a while, but like when you start a new job, and you have to fill out the tax return, the tax forms. And I'm always like, dependents.
What number?
I don't know. And they're like, oh, no, you can max dependents. And I was like, but that's a lie. I don't have that many dependents. And they're like, no, it's just. And I was like, then they should say that. They should say they're going to withhold this much. That's what I need that to say.
That Chris just started a new job 3 weeks ago, and he texted me. And then I texted my dad because in my head I knew, but then like the fear of getting it wrong
and owing thousands
and screwing myself at tax season, which we have always like, please hold as much as you want and then make us feel rich at tax season when you give us that big check. And my dad will argue like, no, you are letting the government borrow your money at 0% and hold it, and they get to do whatever they want with it and then give money, it back so it's not the wisest thing, but I do it anyway because it makes me feel safer in some way.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm like 36 and I 3 weeks ago texted my dad to make sure we were putting in the right number.
I know that's, I always get nervous every time.
So what, this is my last question. What do you want, knowing what you wish you would have learned? What do you want, hope your kids know right now? Like at this moment, what are you doing to make your kids more financially wise than you were, or anything, or what should we be doing?
We had a situation the other day where Max, his favorite clothing designer, dropped a new line.
Oh crap!
I know, right? And he
is
gets
it available
online
at Target.
It is definitely not available. I don't even know where it's available. But he pulls it up on his phone, and he orders these items. And he said, "May I use your card? I have this much cash. This is what I'm paying for." And I was like, so you're not saving up for that drum set anymore? And he was like, doesn't look like it. And I said, okay. And I said, if this is what you're going to do, then this is fine. I mean, it's your money. I don't agree with it, but it's your money. And so he spends $275. And I don't know how much, I don't know how many pieces he's purchased, whatever, all the things.
Like one sock and a shirt.
Close.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, because the order just came earlier this week. But when he did it, he made the purchase. I see, like, the alert from my bank. Like, this was just, oh, okay. So I go upstairs, and I was like, where's my money?
Yeah.
And he said, I actually have 107. And I was like, I lost my mind. Yeah, I probably... It was bad, but I said, Maxwell, that's stealing. You told me you had that much money. And he goes, I really thought I did. I go, when you don't have, when you have either $200 or $300 saved up from birthday or whatever other things you've done, you at your age, you know exactly how much money you have.
To the penny.
I said, yeah, that's why. And I said, I'll give you a couple of dollars here or there, but not over $100 off.
No.
And so, I said, that was a really, really nasty thing to do. That was wrong. And that's not your character. It was like stealing. It really felt.
Did you cancel the whole order?
I did not cancel the whole
order. That would have been my first reaction is
to cancel. Nope.
No,
instead, like a loan shark, I said, you have 2 hours to get me my money. And
bitch.
Yes. And so he, I had somewhere to be and I left and he scrambles and just starts grabbing video games that he doesn't play anymore and other things.
Sell them.
Takes them to GameStop and I got my money. He left me a note. He left me an envelope with the money in it and a note and apologized and said, I'm sorry. I know what I did. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And that, yeah. And then the order came last week. It was a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a pair of sweatpants, and three pairs of socks.
I hope you wear it every day.
He wore every single piece on the
together.
First day together. And I was like,
you gotta spread that out a
little
bit.
That's what I said. I was like, this is, you're gonna go with this? And he was like, yeah, I'll have to show you. It was, he's very, very brave teenager to be a freshman and walk into school in that outfit. But that's his.
Oh man, if I had half the confidence I had as a freshman in high school.
I know, right? No, so I guess just like that's one of those situations I never anticipated it to be. It wasn't so much about the money as it was like you made a bad decision and lied.
Yeah.
I just that it's that wanting to fit in and wanting to be and spending money that's not necessary. So trying to teach my children that their actions and their character and their kindness mean a lot more than the money they spend to look cool and fit in. And I don't even know if that's a money thing, but for me, because I spend money and I'm like, oh no,
like
people are gonna like this outfit and this is gonna and then I feel like I have more value or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just
like you recognize the trap that is so easy to get into.
Yeah. So teaching my children that, you know, spending money on things like this is really unimportant. We'll see.
I think that's a lesson. Like even as an adult, I have to learn like once an hour, you know,
true. Yes.
I think for the Graham family, we did a little traveling this summer, and when like we go to an amusement park, we give the kids so much money and they can spend it however they want, even when I'm like, that is the stupidest choice for that money,
right?
Like, okay, I gave you that money and you get to do with whatever you want, but they have their own money. Like my aunt, like live next door, she'll pay them to like pick up sticks. Like she just pays them to do stuff at our house that's just part of the job, but like
she's
just an aunt, or like birthday money, or I don't know, just however they get money. And I tried to teach them, like, hey, we're going on this big trip. It would be good if you didn't walk into or beg to go to the dollar store with that wad of dollar bills and you just like prepared, because you know, the minute you walk into Kings Island, you're going to want everything in that store that like, so just like the foresight to sometimes say no to something in hopes of something bigger in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're trying to temper that a lot, especially, and it's really hard as an adult to do that, but especially for a kid who like has no frame of reference for time. Like, you know, they are in this moment, Like, don't, like, mm-hmm. they don't think about the future. Like, that's not even relevant to them.
Right.
So over fall break, we're going to Disney. The girls have started to, like, collect a little bit of money. Hey, when we get to Disney, you're going to want all that. Oh, wait. They don't know about it.
My eyes got big and I was like, I thought this was.
Yes. Okay. But I'm saying, what I'm saying to them is when we go to Florida, they know we're going to Florida.
Okay.
Like, so, and that's hard too. That's another thing. Like, I'm trying to say, like, you're going to want that money for vacation.
Right.
When we go to the beach or whatever we do. Like, seashells, you always
you're
going to
buy all the seashells.
You're going to want to buy a vial of sand.
Alligator heads.
A hermit crab.
Right.
Like, hey, we have vacation coming up. You know that. Let's save money for that. Just mm-hmm. being aware of the future. In any sense, I think is a good
yes.
lesson for them to learn. Mm-hmm. But it is a constant battle of mm-hmm. them not understanding or caring, right. actually.
Yeah, just, nah, you know what? It'll probably work out.
Because also their needs are all met. Like, they have never done without for anything,
right.
you know?
Yes. Hmm. Do I need to edit that Disney part?
Well.
I don't know if there's anybody that's going to blow your cover.
I don't know. I asked my Facebook friends, like, some Disney tips. So, okay. like.
It's out
people,
there.
It's out there. Okay. The only two people that don't know are my children.
Okay. Got it.
So if they find out, I will cut you, wherever you are.
Yeah. Just be sure you're not listening in the car when they're there.
No.
All right. Do you have a not terrible, maybe money related, maybe not?
Yeah. It's not money related.
Okay.
Sorry. That would have been on brand and theme too much for me.
Got it.
So this summer, my brother... was laid off from his job and decided that he was going to start looking for places to move and work outside of our city and state. He's young. He's not married. He doesn't have any kids. Like, he's not in a relationship. It was just, it's, you know, he's 29. That's a really perfect time to just be like, let's do everything new. So he was looking on both coasts, like East Coast, West Coast, going to interviews, doing all kinds of stuff. And just a couple weeks ago, he started a new job here in Indy. And he just said, like, you know, I'm a little bit more at peace about staying here. And so I was excited for him. Like, I know the thrill of wanting to do something scary and brave and mm-hmm. no regrets. But I'm also just really glad that he stayed.
That he stayed.
That he got to stay. And that he's happy about staying. Not just for me, but for himself, too.
Yeah.
So he's here.
Good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. My not terrible is it's a lesson learned. It kind of was terrible, but I learned my lesson. So we have talked about how I don't keep a checkbook. And when people write checks and you just have a running, okay, well, guess what? My homeowners association decided to cash a check last week that I wrote in April for $400. Yeah. That was a big one. Mm. I was like, I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Mary. But I was like, okay, I get it. I get it now. Cash the checks or tell them that you're not cashing the checks.
Why did they hold that big of a check for so long?
I don't know. Isn't that strange? I'm going to call Wanda and ask her.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's very related to my story that I told you earlier this week about how I paid my mortgage out of the wrong bank account and totally screwed everything up.
Yeah.
And it was a bad week, and I called and cried to the bank people, and they were just like, okay, we'll refund the fees. Like, mm-hmm. And it worked out. I just had to take the money from one mm-hmm. place and go to the other, but like it felt horrible mm-hmm. that I messed everything up.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. I have a buffer in my checking account. Like, and then you're like, oh,
there it went.
What happened? What? Yeah, it was that was a big chunk that I was not anticipating. But also, how did I not notice it hadn't come out until then? Like, I don't know. Who knows what happened?
I don't mean to brag right now, but I do have some extra bank registers in my in my office if you need one.
I'm actually out of checks right now, and so I'm like, you know what?
That feels
safe. I'm gonna order some, and I'm really gonna pay attention to
get back on the checkbook register.
I am. not since I banked at Fifth Third have I kept count of like checks. So we'll see.
I'm not gonna lie, there's a part of me in my soul that's like, see, this is why you have to write this stuff down.
You do. I get it now.
But I wrote it down and it didn't even matter. I just paid things out of the wrong account. So you can still screw up things with just a little click of the button. No checks involved. All right. That's it.
Okay.
See you next week.
See ya.
You have been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with us on Instagram or Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit us at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and podcast extras. You can sign up for our newsletter for bonus episodes and sneak peeks of what's ahead. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider.
When you subscribe, leave us a review. We'd love to share it on the podcast, like this one from Corgi Lover and VA, who wrote, "I love that Jess and Mary are so open and honest about the struggles of adulthood. I find them so relatable. In a world of seeing everyone's highlight reel on social media, it's refreshing to find women who aren't afraid to discuss the hard things."
Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and the Off the Air podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.